All right, well, as mentioned, we do men's devotional first Wednesday night of the month. I'll be glad when the cold and flu season is over with. There's so many people out right now. I think what we're going to do is set up some sort of a sprinkler with hand sanitizer outside, and when you shake someone's hand, you're required to, you know, pump. And if they sneeze, you've got a shower pool, and it just douses you with the stuff. But it's a lot of folks right now who are sick. Lots and lots of people have cold, flu, stomach virus, stuff like that. So please be well. So we're down in our number tonight because of that. We're great thing about technology now, we're able to not have to repeat it so often. We put the names on the board. Let me run through it real quick. Philip Phillips, Larry Knave, Preston Edmondson, and Art Greer. And then we have another round with Ken Wilson, Steve Pell, and Travis Friedel. And each of those men know what they're doing. So we'll go ahead and get started. Philip will come and speak to us. Philip.
A few years ago, we had a class on something like David's been having on morals and honesty and stuff like that. And we all know that as Christians, we're supposed to be the light of the world. Our conduct and stuff is supposed to be that, would be an example of Christ. In Romans 13th chapter, it says that we're to walk honestly. Walk honestly. Again, in Philippians, the 4th chapter, it says, whatsoever things are honest, think on these things. In Thessalonians 1st chapter, it says, they're the same portion that the believers might believe. And then in Titus, the 2nd chapter, it says that teach the young to set an example by doing good. So one of the little articles that one of the men brought in, it pretty well went with all the whole class on decisions, honesty, and being an example. He said he didn't know where this was true or not, but they were, whereas the preacher's tale, as he called it, or whether it really happened. But it shows that our life, in so many different ways, can influence other people. It says, several years ago, a preacher from out of state accepted a call to a church in Houston, Texas. Some weeks after he arrived, he had an occasion to ride the bus from his home to the downtown area. When he sat down, he discovered that the driver had accidentally given him a quarter too much. Now, a quarter doesn't seem like very much, does it? But the man had been given a quarter too much. As he considered what to do, he thought to himself, you'd better give the quarter back. It would be wrong to keep it. Then he thought, oh, forget it. It's only a quarter. Who would worry about that little amount? Anyway, the bus company gets too much for fares. They will never miss it. Accept it as a gift from God and just keep quiet. When his stop came, he paused momentarily at the door. He handed a quarter to the driver and said, here, you gave me too much change. The driver, with a smile, replied, aren't you the new preacher in town? And I have been thinking a lot lately about going somewhere to worship. I just want to see what you would do if I gave you too much change. I'll see you church on Sunday. When the preacher stepped off the bus, he literally grabbed the nearest pole and held on and said, I almost sold your son for a quarter, God. Our lives are the only Bible some people will ever read. This is a scary example of how much people as Christians will put to the test. Also, be on guard. Watch your thoughts. They become words. Watch your words. They become actions. Watch your actions. They become habits. Watch your habits. They become character. Watch your character. It would be your destiny. So here we got an example of a man having to make a decision. It wasn't his fault the man gave him too much money. But as he thought on it, he had to make a decision. Do I give it back or not? Then the decision he made. He said, I'm like a light on a hill. I showed that I was part of God, that God was my helper and him my mate. And so he said, this is my decision that I made. I gave back which was not mine, which belonged to someone else. I also had left an example. In our life today, just what does our life really show? I mean, do we do things haphazardly, say, you know, well, it doesn't matter? He could have said that. And as a bus driver said, I'm looking for a church to go to. I'll see you Sunday. So the decision he made was an honest decision. It left the right example for the man, and it showed results. How's our life today? Does our life show this as we walk each day?
Tonight I want to do a little talk about to live is Christ and to die is gain. I'm going to start by reading from Philippians 1 verses 19 through 24. For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectations and hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, so now always Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this will mean fruit for my labor. Yet what shall I choose? I cannot tell. For I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. From prison, Paul's letter to the Philippians is filled with friendly and fatherly affections. This was different from the other churches that he had wrote letters to. This was his outpouring of love for the faithful congregation which he had planted. Paul's letter from prison is mainly of joy, especially the joy of serving Jesus and the joy of loving God. Paul lived to help others just as Christians today. We should pray for each other. In Philippians 1 verse 21, Paul wrote, For to me to live and to live is Christ. In today's world, some people might say and put it this way. To a businessman, it may mean to me to live in wealth. To a scholar, it may mean to me to live as knowledge. To a soldier, it may mean to me to live as victory. To a young man, it may mean to live may be pleasure. To those who desire recognition, may mean to live as fame. And to many students and athletes, may mean to live as recognition. But to a Christian, to live is not wealth or knowledge, nor fame, nor glory, but Christ. Christ first, Christ last, Christ always. Paul had a great desire to leave all the battles which he was fighting here on earth to go be with Christ. But this would be better for him to stay. Whether present or absent, Paul's wishes for the Philippians was to let their manner of life please Christ. In Paul's text, to die is gain, meant Paul had already suffered much on his missionary journeys. He had been beaten. He had been stoned. He was hated. He was shipwrecked, and now he was in prison. Paul found that his afflictions had strengthened his faith and allowed him to serve as a strong witness for Christ. He is actually serving as a living sacrifice. As Paul wrote in Philippians 1:21, for to me to live in Christ and to die in gain. Most people want to focus on the second part of that verse. To die is gain, and contemplate the joys of heaven. As Christians, we should not overlook what comes before. To live in Christ, this cannot be overstated. This phrase should be central to everyone, to every Christian. To live is Christ. We should proclaim the gospel of Christ. We should imitate the example of Christ and how he walked on this earth and lived. We should pursue the knowledge of Christ each day of our life. Paul knew God would be honored through both his life and his death. As Christians, our lives are to bring glory to God. And Paul had the assurance that even in his suffering, he was accomplishing that goal by living in Christ. Paul knew that his death would bring glory to God as well. Not only that, but it would also be the time when his faith would be fully accomplished and he would live with his Savior, as he wrote, to die is gain. As Christians, what we lose in life, we will gain in heaven. Before that time comes, our purpose on earth is to live as a light of hope in the darkness of sin. We want to live the life of sacrifice so we may be assured, as Paul was, that even our death will glorify Christ Jesus. To live is Christ. We should let Christ be our focus, our goal, and our chief desire. We want Christ to be the center, the point of our mind, our heart, our body, and our soul. Everything we do, do it for Christ's glory. As we run the race marked out for us, let's lay aside our involvement in sin and worldly distractions, fixing our eyes on Jesus. He is our life. As Christians, let's develop a faith that encourages us to die to self and live through with and in Jesus. If we could draw close to someone who would give us eternal life, wouldn't we want to meet him? Getting to know Jesus Christ through his scripture should become one of our high priorities as Christians. To live is Christ, to die is gain. Thank you.
Probably the best written explanation or description of us inside and out was written by David. He probably said it better than anyone else could have ever put it when he describes us when he begins Psalms 139. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all together. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light about me be night. Even the darkness is not dark to you. The night it is bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, For I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you. When I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, even as yet there were none of them. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God! How vast is the sum of them! If I would count them, they are more than the sand. I awake, and I am still with you.
Number 252, please. 252. Recently, someone special requested this song, and I want to sing it tonight as a special request. 252, all three stanzas. I am a poor wayfaring stranger, while traveling through this world of woe. Yet there's no sickness, toil, nor danger in that bright world to which I go. I'm going there to see my Father. I'm going there no more to roam. I'm only going over Jordan. I'm only going over home. I know dark clouds will gather round me. I know my way is rough and steep, but golden fields lie out before me, where God's redeemed shall ever sleep. I'm going there to see my Father. I'm going there no more to roam. I'm only going over Jordan. I'm only going over home. I'll soon be there, free of every trial. My body sleep in the churchyard. I'll drop the cross of self-denial and enter on my great reward. I'm going there to see my Father. I'm going there no more to roam. I'm only going over Jordan. I'm only going over home.
We're going to talk about why the Bible says it's okay to be selfish here in a few minutes. But I'm going to tell a little story first. And I just told my wife this, but I'll go ahead and tell all y'all. I want to go ahead and apologize for something I'm going to say. So you'll understand in a few minutes. Back when I was 17, I worked for this friend of the family. He was an elder in the church, owned a little small construction company. You know, I was the strong back and the dumb, you know, mind for the summer. But it's a good job. But in the middle of July, a bright sunny day, we finished up work that morning, and he didn't really have anything else for us to do. So he sent us out to his house. He had a big old patio on the back of it that was covered in tin, or it had two layers of tin on it. And we were going to put a third layer on it that day. So we had nails about that long, and we're up on that roof, bright, sunny July, hot day, pounding through three layers of tin, and we had to tar all the seams. And so there were lots of smashed fingers and hands and all the stuff that goes along with that day. Anyway, we're up there all afternoon. We finally got done and got off the ladder and went straight to the faucet. And I think I drank the Cumberland River up that day. Here's the bad part. And then most of it came back up real quick. And Mr. Thornton came over to me and just chewed me out. He got, you know, I had never had a grown man talk to me like this. And he got on my case bad and said, "Look, son, you know, you can't do that. If you hurt yourself, if you get sick, you're no good to yourself and you're no good to me. So you got to take care of yourself." And so later on, the lesson kind of sunk in that, you know, you gotta be selfish sometimes in your life and do, you know, instead of trying to get the job done, you know, you need to take care of yourself the best you can. And that stuck with me and has for a long time, and I've told that story numerous times. You know, we learn from an early age in teaching kids and from the Bible that we should not be selfish. We need to share. And that's certainly true. But I think there are times we need to be selfish. And I think the Bible talks to that. Matthew chapter 13, verses 44 and 45. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking fine pearls. And upon finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Excuse me, that was 45. Maybe start back in 44. Doesn't matter. The thought's the same. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and hid again. And from joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. So here's something that an individual finally realized was worth more than anything. It was that great a find. And he was selfish enough to go sell everything he had and go buy that. Where the Bible speaks to us here in being selfish is with our soul, with our salvation. And it's easy a lot of times in this world to get, you know, we're not selfish. We don't think about it enough. I know I'm guilty of that a lot of times. But it's that important for us to be selfish for our own self, because we got no one else to answer for us. It's only us, each one of us individually, that will have to answer to God. We get help from this group, and that's good. But we still need to be selfish for our own soul and our own salvation. So think about that as you go through the rest of the week, and maybe that might change your attitudes about life sometimes.
We began our class about a week and a half ago, excuse me, at our morning worship service, morning Bible class on the Holy Spirit. And I know many of you are in that class. And immediately that first class we had, there was a question that came up, and actually it was a comment that was made concerning man and his response to God, because we covered just briefly how God created the heavens and the earth and created man, and we were the crowning part of his creation. And the comment was made that, well, you know, between man and the animal kingdom, man hasn't treated God very well. The animal kingdom apparently treats God better than man does. And, you know, I thought about that. As you know, as we look in Genesis, it wasn't just a few chapters in Genesis 6, verse 6, that God was sorry that he had created man. And we know he was at the point to just go ahead and destroy man completely. But then he looked at Noah, and Noah found grace in the eyes of God. And he made provisions. He didn't just say, I'm going to save you from the flood which is coming upon the world. He offered him an option, which Noah took, and that was to build the ark and save him. And, well, it turned out just to be he and his family. Eight souls were saved. And it wasn't just given to him. He had to make the choice. Either I obey God and do what he has laid out, or I'll be destroyed with the world. And, of course, we know Noah followed God's will and obeyed him. And, of course, from Hebrews, we know of others. Enoch. He pleased God, and we found that he was no more, for God took him. And Abraham, he was called of God, and he obeyed. And sometimes we think, you know, why can't we just be like the angels? They've seen God, and they know exactly what he's like. And therefore, it's not that they don't have a choice. We know that for a fact, that they do have a choice, because there are those angels that turned away from God at one time. But they have seen God. We have not. And sometimes we think, well, you know, if we could see what they see, maybe we would just be more aggressive in converting the world. But it's not that way, is it? God had a plan, and it involved us, and it involved a message which would convert us to worship him. He sent his son as an example, and then the Holy Spirit to guide us to be more like his son. And Jesus said it best in John 20, verse 29. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. But we know that it's been said that we cannot see the face of God and live. That's been proclaimed in the Old Testament. But yet, there is these words written in Revelation, verse 22, beginning at verse 3. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Now that is a promise that we have, and there's things we cannot see of heaven except through what has been taught to us in Scripture. But from what we understand, there's more there than we can imagine. And it's for those that, unlike the angels, we have not seen, but yet from what we know from the Scripture, if we study it, we'll have the same desire to be with God as the angels do.
Try 532. 532. We'll do all three. Let's sing.
Praise him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Sing, O earth, his wonderful love proclaim. Hail him, highest archangels in glory. Strength and honor give to his holy name. Like a shepherd, Jesus will guard his children. In his arms he carries them all day long. Praise him, tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, ever in joyful song. Praise him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. For our sins he suffered and bled and died. He, our rock, our hope of eternal salvation. Hail him, Jesus the crucified. Sound his praises, Jesus who bore our sorrows. Love unbounded, wonderful, deep and strong. Praise him, tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, ever in joyful song. Praise him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Heavenly portals, glad with hosannas ring. Jesus, Savior, reigneth forever and ever. Crown him, prophet and priest and king. Christ is coming over the world victorious. Power and glory unto the Lord belong. Praise him, tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, ever in joyful song.
Thank you very much to all of the men that participated tonight. It happens the same time every month. So first Wednesday night of next month, men, if you've not had a chance to do it, please do that. Work up a devotional. If you have maybe you've read a bulletin article somewhere, you heard something and it spurred a thought and you've got some scriptures to go along with it, or you just want to read a scripture or lead a song, volunteer. This is a forum to try to help men develop their talents and also help the congregation be led in some devotional thoughts. So if you'd like to contribute, go ahead and plan on that for next month. Let's go to God in prayer. We'll be dismissed. Father, you're so good to us, and we thank you. We pray now as we leave that you'll bless us with safety, keep us safe through the rest of the week, and as we go about interacting with people in the public, may we be the light of the world and the salt of the earth. Help us to be a great influence on people so that they will want to know your love and be saved too. We have so many that are sick. Please continue to be with Gail, Doris, Jean, Glenn, others who are struggling right now, and especially those who are struggling with flu and viruses. Pray everybody will get over that soon and be healthy. We love you, God. Thank you for everything. Most of all, Jesus. In his name, amen.